Good to see all of you. Thank you, Kathy, for your word. I think it's apropos what you said. It is well with my soul. And Andrew, very fitting for this morning's message. The Lord spoke through you, I believe, in terms of what the Lord has put on my heart to say to the congregation. I predict that this congregation has a powerful and wonderful future. I prophesy that it has a powerful and wonderful future. If, because prophecies always go according to whether the people respond accordingly. You follow what I mean? You have to hear the word of God and respond to his word in faithfulness, in obedience, for his prophecy to find fruition. And this is what I want to speak to you this morning. You have a powerful and wonderful future in God. Why? Because it's about Christ and the centrality and supremacy of Christ, our Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. I want to begin with the verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1. And some of your Bibles may even have the title, The Supremacy of the Son of God. Paul writes in Colossians to the people of the church in Colossae and says this: The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Who's the him that we're talking about? Who's the him?
Jesus.
Say it better.
Jesus.
Who is it?
Jesus.
I want to hear it louder.
Jesus.
That's right. It's about Jesus. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus comes first in everything. Let that sink in. Chew on it. Absorb it. Let it nourish your soul. Let it be on your mind. Think the thought. Clarify what you're doing by putting Jesus first. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Now let's get the bigger context. Look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Why do I say that this congregation has a powerful future? Because you're going to put, and you have been putting, Jesus first. And you're going to do more of that. Life in general is getting more and more difficult, is it not? More complicated. More divisive. We have a... Did you know that there's an election coming up this Tuesday? You haven't heard about that, have you? People are worried. And the common denominator between both sides is that each side says if the other side wins, this nation is in big trouble. Folks, put Jesus first. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Jesus comes first in everything. Stop compromising. Stop watering down. Stop making excuses. Put Jesus first in every way in your life. He is supreme. He is your God. He is your authority over you. He is your Lord. Put Jesus first. Please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You're going to need a lot of patience. You're going to have to endure a lot. And the only way you're going to do it is by putting Jesus first. Verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His people, of His holy people, in the kingdom of light. Put Jesus first and His kingdom, for that is your inheritance. Not this world as it is, not this nation as it is. Jesus is your inheritance. His kingdom is your inheritance. Put Jesus first. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the sons He loves, which is Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. We have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Now turn to chapter 3 of Colossians. Look at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Think about this past week. Where have your minds been spent most of the time? On your work, on your job, your responsibilities at home, getting the meal on, feeding the children, planning the rest of the day, relaxing, watching TV, getting other things done that you have to get done. How much time did you give to thinking about God? How much time did you give in thinking about the priority of your life in terms of the big picture and the trajectory of your life and where you're heading? How much time did you think of things above? The worries and riches and concerns of this world have a way of creeping in and strangling like weeds in a garden. I'm not a gardener, and if you look at our front yard and backyard, you'll say, yeah, you got that right. Weeds take over and choke out the nicer plants. The weeds of this life, and the thoughts of this life, and the worries of this life, and the concerns of this life, the values of this life, the priorities of this life choke out the things above. But since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Then you also will appear with him in glory. You're headed for glory. Now, take a moment. Turn around and look at each other. And take a good look at one another. What do you see? Smiling faces, that's nice. But you see fellow human beings who are growing older, weaker in some ways. And you see people who have faults. Am I right? People who make mistakes. People who say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Put their foot in their mouth. People sometimes who irritate you. Be honest, am I right? Yeah. People who have made you sad. People who have made you happy. People who have weaknesses. Glaring faults that you see, but they do not seem to see. Am I right? But when God looks at you, what does God see? He sees who you are becoming in Christ. He sees the magnificence of the glory of Christ within you. He sees the beauty of the person that he is making through Christ in you. He sees the outcome of a person who puts Christ first in their heart. Beauty. Glory. Power. Wonder, love. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's where you have your power as a congregation and where your future lies if you are going to be a powerful, Christ-centered, Christ-filled, Holy Spirit-moved people of God. Follow His word. Follow these things. And you, no one will stop you. You will be at the cutting edge of the future of Jesus' church. You hear what I'm saying? Let's reread it. This is your instruction. This is what you need to follow. This is how you must submit to the Lord God, whom you are putting first in your life. This is what Jesus is asking you to do. As God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved by God, clothe yourselves, dress yourself up. Not very many people wear fancy clothes to church anymore. I remember the day where I used to always wear a coat and tie, suit and tie. Now, it's look at me. Like, boy, I've really gone downhill in my dress, haven't I? But it's not about outward clothing. Clothe yourself with these things. With what? Compassion. See, it's easy to be cold and inconsiderate to a person, to be impatient with a person for that person's faults and failures. Well, here we go again. So-and-so is at it again. So-and-so is doing this again. So-and-so is falling apart again. No compassion. But if you're going to be a people of God, full of the Spirit, putting Jesus first in your life, you're going to learn how to be compassionate people to every human being that comes across your path. And especially beginning with the people in your own church. Because those are the people that irritate you the most. Am I right? I am. From the pastor's perspective, I see it. Oh, so-and-so said this. So-and-so did that. Put on compassion. Kindness is the next word. Now, I have to admit, I'm preaching this, and I'm perhaps one of the worst breakers of these things that I, you know, I'm so often lacking in compassion and so often unkind. You don't see me that way, but Eloise has seen me that way. I go to a restaurant. And the waitress comes and brings something, and it's not quite, she says, well, I say, where's the fish salad dressing? She's, it's not in, it's in there. I said, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. She walks away. I taste it. It's not in there. I call for the waitress again, and then somebody else comes. It's another person. The waitress said the salad dressing's in there. It's not in there. I'd like the salad dressing. Okay, I'll go take it. Then the first waitress comes, and I say, I want you to know, in no uncertain terms, that there is no salad dressing in this salad. And Eloise is like, and Andrew is like, there's Dad again. Holly wasn't with us at that moment. Otherwise, she would have said, Dad, there you go again. Compassion. Kindness. Humility. Let me say something about humility for a minute. In the Mennonite church, humility is one of the highest values in the Mennonite church. so high that all Mennonites are so proud of being humble. It's good to be humble. But when you make it something of a centerpiece, you invert it, and your very humility becomes pride. Be careful with that. Humility doesn't mean just appearing to be humble. Doing humble things and saying humble things does not make you humble. Humility really comes from the heart and soul in your very being and how you look at yourself. Humility doesn't mean putting yourself down. Oh, that's not me. I wasn't that good. You know, if Heloise plays the piano, she plays very well, doesn't she? Give Heloise a clap. Give Heloise a hand. She does a good job. Now, she's not here. She's with the grandkids. So she didn't hear it. But being humble does not mean, oh, no, 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 I'm not that good. Oh, really, no, that's not being humble. If you did a good job, and you know you did a good job, and someone recognizes that you did a good job, and says, you really did a good job, say thank you. I appreciate that. I worked hard on it. And I appreciate it hearing you say that I did a good job, because I really wanted to do a good job, and I'm glad to hear that I did. That's not being proud. That's being honest and genuine. Part of being humble is being honest and genuine. Being humble is simply knowing the truth of your place and being honest about it. Not pretending that you're, self-effacing, oh, poor me, I'm not really that great. That's stupidity. That's ridiculous, pretending to be humble. Never pretend to be humble. Never act as if you're humble. Never say things to look like you're humble. Be genuine. Be real. Be authentic. That's the beginning of being humble. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Again, that's where I have to learn a lot. The other day, last Saturday. Heloise, the grandkids were over as usual. Hope and Rose. I've mentioned them before, haven't I? And Hope and Rose, I was sitting on the sofa and Hope was on the sofa and Rose was standing in front of me and they were both demanding my attention and I was talking to them and they just wanted my total attention, and Eloise needed to ask a question, and she was in the kitchen, within earshot. And she said, I need to know something. Can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. And then Hope and Rose were still. And I said, just a minute. And then I was trying to hear Eloise, and Hope and Rose were still getting, and I said, hold on. And finally, I couldn't hear Eloise. And I said, quiet! And Hope and Rose like, okay. And I heard Eloise. Eloise has often said, it's the way I say things. I may be right in what I'm correcting the kids. When our kids were younger, when Holly and Andrew were kids, But she says, you could have often been more gentle in the way you've said things to them, in the way you corrected them. And she was right. And that's true in a restaurant with waitresses. You can often be more gentle. You see, these are not easy things to do. In fact, I would go so far as to say they're not natural to us. Why not? Because we're sinful. We are sinful, fallen human beings. And so it's hard to let Christ move and become the authority in our lives so that we are more like Christ in our responses to people. So that's why we have this list here that Paul says. Be more compassionate. Be kind. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. How many times have you ever run out of patience with somebody? Huh? Every day. It's so easy to lose your patience with other human beings because they are so human. More human than us, right? But if you're going to be a powerful church, you put Jesus first. And if you're going to put Jesus first, then you follow him and you do what he says and you become more Christ-like. If you're going to become more Christ-like, then you're going to become more compassionate, more kind, more humble, more gentle, and more patient. And you will be a powerful people of God. And you will not be stopped. Nothing will stop you because God will be working in you and through you, and you will see wonders of God's work in this little church. You have a powerful future because you're going to put Jesus first. You have a powerful future because you're going to submit to his authority in your life. You have a powerful future because you know that he is the head of this church. Pause for a minute and think. So often when people gather together like this and they talk about the church, they say, well, this is, you know, Pastor Mike is in charge. You've got to go and see, find out what his answer is. Well, we have to go to the board about this, the leadership team, and see what they say about this. Or we have to go to so-and-so because if so-and-so is, well, you know, so-and-so has been a member of this church for decades. And we better hear what so-and-so has to say. As if Pastor Mike owns this church. Or as if the leadership team owns this church. Or as if someone who has been a member of this church for decades owns this church. Whose church is this? Who? Who's the head of this church? Jesus. Jesus is supreme. Jesus comes first. Jesus is the head of this church. So when this church is looking about its future and what it's going to do and how it's going to be, don't look to another human being for the answer. Don't look for your next pastor to rescue you. Although, definitely find a good pastor. You're going to find a good pastor. Submit to Jesus as the power and Lord and authority of this church. Not the leadership team, not the pastor, and not someone who's been a member of this church for decades and decades and says, this is my church. No. It's Jesus' church. He is the head. He is your Lord. Submit to the authority and lordship of Christ. Put Jesus first. And this congregation will not be stopped. Follow? So he says, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. if any of you has a grievance against someone. Now let me ask you a question. Someone's going to do this, but we have too many guests, so I won't. But if I were to get out the church directory, let me do a small portion to show you what I mean. I have here my calendar book, and I have the church directory. And when I read these names, I want you to keep it to yourself. Don't go public with it. But I want you to be honest with yourself. When you hear the name, what does your spirit do? What is your attitude? How does your attitude respond? Do you cringe? Do you say, oh? Or do you say, yeah, bless that person? Jen Capone. Alberto Delgado. Joy Denick. Jason Frith. Jennifer Frith. Florence Gargas. Henry and Deb Gargas. John Hilferty. Marion Huber. Kathy Jones. Bob and Mary Colt. Dan and Kathy LaRue. Jake Lent. Mike and Eloise Manessis, Janine Mitchner, Andrew Specker, Jeff and Sandra Myers, May Reinford, Kim Schwartzhaupt, Ellen Stock, Gary Warner, Linda Watson, Gerald Sauter. When you heard those names, ask yourself, are you at peace with each name that you heard? Do you love? Can you say you positively, gladly like the person, love the person that you just heard the name of? Or do you have a problem with one of those people? If you have a problem with one of those people, you better correct it. You better correct yourself. This is where it begins. If this church is going to flourish, if this church is going to be alive in the power of Christ, filled with the Spirit, led by Him, with His authority and power in your life, you better correct your relationship with one another. No stones unturned. Correct your spirit. Don't leave this church without making sure you have peace with every single person in this congregation. That is what the Lord wants of us. That is the hard work of following Jesus Christ in His authority in your life. It is not good enough to say, well, I like so-and-so, and I like so-and-so, but I don't want anything to do with so-and-so. That is not good enough. That will not work. Correct yourselves. Be at peace. Make amends. Forgive one another. Live with each other in a powerful way with the love of Christ in your heart. Do it. You will be surprised what the Lord does in your life. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You didn't deserve to be forgiven by God. He didn't have to forgive you. You're sinners. You're filthy sinners just like I am. But he died on the cross to save you from your sins, to forgive you, and to let you into his glory. That's why I have peace. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to live. I'm going to heaven because I'm forgiven. I have peace with God. And one of the things I said to my family, I said, if there's any issues with me, any questions you have of me, any concerns about me, now's the time to talk about it. So Holly and I had a one-on-one conversation one Friday afternoon. And I was happily surprised to hear that she had nothing, no issues. Am I right? And Andrew and I had a one-on-one conversation Sunday, the following Sunday. And I was glad to hear him say, Dad, I want you to be assured I have no issues with you. We are at peace. I'm going home. I'm at peace with God. I'm at peace with my family. And I'm at peace with you. Forgive me for sounding as if I'm scolding. But I'm at peace. Matt.
We're good.
You're good?
Yep. We're good to just say no.
All right. Matt spoke for all of you. Amen?
Amen.
Be at peace with one another. Forgive one another. And this church will not be stopped. Jesus comes first. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, following Christ is not a matter of, oh, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm saved now. I'll go live my life. No. Following Christ is, I accept Jesus as more in my Lord and Savior. He saved me from my sins. He's now become my Lord of my life. Now he is number one, and I must submit to him in every way, in everything, in all that I do, in all that I become. I am to submit and let him transform my life. Now the hard work begins. That's where you're at. That's the beginning for you. As I end my time with you. By the way, just a side note, Jake and I are on the same page. He's praying for my healing. And I said, that's okay. God wants to heal me. Got to be all or nothing. But I'm also ready to go home. Total healing. So I'll say unashamedly, yes, I'm dying. Sooner or later, I'll be gone. I want you to know I'm asking to be relieved of my duties at the end of this month. So this is the last month that I will be your pastor in an official capacity. I honestly, I'm running out of energy. I don't know even that I'll make it to the end of this month with the, I mean, I would make it, but I mean in the sense of doing my duties, I'm doing less and less because I just don't have the capacity to do it anymore. But I will be here. I'm not going anywhere. I talked to our conference minister, Randy Haycock. And he knows, and he understands, Alois is not leaving this church, even when I die. She's going to stay here. This is her church. This is our church. And so, though I am going to be relieved of my duties at the end of this month. I will still be part of this congregation until I die. I will be buried here. The service will be here in this church, and I will be buried out there in that cemetery. And Alois will have a stone that will have my name on it and her name on it, so that she will be buried there too. I don't know how long I have, but my body tells me it's going down. It is just a matter of time. But as Jesus said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. You remember he said that when he was carrying the cross? That's how I feel. You are staying behind. You have the tough job of following the Lord on this earth. You put Jesus first, and you can't go wrong. Jesus has to come first. No ifs and buts about it. No compromises. Don't ever forget that. It's all about Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus. Let's pray.
Jesus, let your Spirit fall upon us, this congregation. Equip us and enable us to be followers of you in every possible way. We worship you as Lord and Savior of our lives. Give us strength and wisdom, truth to live by, love to live in. Fill this congregation with your Holy Spirit. Let it grow in the things of God. The richness and the treasures of heaven belong to these people, your people. For they are committed to putting you first. We worship and adore you, Lord, the supreme in our heart. Jesus, 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 there is something. It's been a pleasure to be your pastor. I'm quite undeserving of it. But God has given me the honor and the privilege of serving you as your pastor, and it's been a wonderful journey.